Boker Tov world. Today's daf in Mesechet Ketuvot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh,
is daf Lamed Dalet.
And let's just get back into things over here, because we've got some pretty complex tangential issues here. And what we've been attempting to do, basically, is to figure out the difference between the Mishnah in Mesechet Makot, which says that somebody who would rape a sister would be Chayev Malkus, and our Mishnah, which says that someone who rapes a sister is Chayev Knas. So how do we explain that? So we've had a number of different explanations. We talked about the difference between Ula, who says that we always go for Mammon when we have both possibilities, and the only reason that we would understand the Mishnah there is saying that you get Malkus is because there was no Mammon. How was there no Mammon? Well, we were talking about over there, a Mefuta was a Yitoma, and there was no father that was involved in a Mefuta. Basically, by agreeing to a consensual relationship, doesn't have any rights for financial tviyot. And that's simple difference. Rabbi Yochanan says exactly the opposite. We always go for Malkus and not for Knas. And therefore, we have to explain our mission. How come in our mission there's a Knas? And he explained that by saying that we're talking about a case where there was no Hatra'ah for Malkus, and therefore there's Knas. Well, very simple. Now, Reish Lakish wanted to make this distinction. He said, we don't need to get into all that. We can simply say that the mission is going Aliba to Rabbi Meir. And Aliba to Rabbi Meir, there's no din of Kedei Rishato. And we will even be loco mishalim. So therefore, there's no contradiction. One is focusing on the Malkus, that's in Masechet Makot. One is focusing on the Knas, and that is over here. And I'm not sure what's happening in Malkus, so maybe it is like Rabbi Meir, maybe it's always we do go for them all. But the bottom line is that you can't ask any questions because there's both. So the problem that that raised for us was the issue of the fact that our Mishnah, essentially, as we're going to see, distinguishes between the rape of a sister, which is a chi of Malkus, versus the rape of a daughter, which is a chi of Misa. And in the case of a rape of a daughter, the Mishnah says that there actually is no chi of Knas. Now, if you're going to tell me that according to Rabbi Meir, the din is that we are lokin umishalmin, would that mean that there would even be a halacha that we would be mace umeshale? And that's what got us into all of these different halachas. Now, in between, we were talking about the various ways in which the Torah was merambes, that when it comes to chovu b'chavero, there would be a chiyev of tashlumin, and when it comes to edim zomimim, there would be a chiyev of tashlumin. And the problem that we had over here was the question of how it would be. Let's see, where did we get up to here? Just trying to remember where we got all the way up to. Yeah, so we got up to Rabbi Yochanan HaSandra, I think, right? Is that correct? Yeah.
Lamed Dalet
up to Rabbi Yochanan HaSandra. So the last thing that we were coming to explain was this problem of the third solution, according to Reish Lakish. And remember that according to Reish Lakish, Rabbi Meir holds even loka umishalim. And the question is, what exactly would Rabbi Meir hold about the case of the rape of a daughter? And our problem was that it appears that we cannot argue that Rabbi Meir does not hold of meit umishalim, because he does apparently hold of meit umishalim. In the where we were saying, we were attempting to say Meitu Mishalim, he doesn't hold of, and we had a Braita that gets us into our current confusion. And that Braita talks about the din of Gonav V'Tovach B'Shabbat, or Gonav V'Tovach L'Avodat Kochavim, and over there, the halacha is that according to Rabbi Meir, you actually will pay the Knas. And the question was, well, I thought that you said Rabbi Meir holds of Kamlai ben Arabimine in case of Misa. And that was the way you explained the difference between the rape of a sister and the rape of a daughter. And now you see that we can't say that, in which case we can no longer use Reish Lakish's teretz. We can no longer say that the mission is going according to Rabbi Meir. And therefore, to answer that, we wanted to say that it's talking about that he used a shliach, and if he used a shliach, then he wasn't chayev at all. And the reason that a shliach would be usable for being mechayev yumumun was because of a special din of tvacho o mecharo, that just like you can only sell using somebody else to buy, so too you could do tvicha even if you were using somebody else. Or we had two other possibilities, but the bottom line is we got ourselves into a corner. So we started talking about that according to Rabbi Meir, even though the halacha is that in meis u'mishalim, in the case of the tvicha mechira, in those cases of Shabbos and avodah zarah, you didn't do it yourself, and therefore there wasn't a meis u'mishalim. So that got us a little very much into some other issues that weren't exactly our question. Okay, then the problem was, if we're going to insist that we're talking about somebody else did the tvicha u'mechira, so then how in the world would the Rabbanan say that you would be punter? You're not chayiv misa, so why would you be punter? And that got us into our current pickle. Because the answer to that, please forgive me, because we're very, very much off of the main track of what we're interested in. But I've got to explain to you why we're getting into the question today of what the din is about shechting something on Shabbos or cooking something on Shabbos, whether it's kosher or not. How in the world did we get here? So again, the reason that we need to deal with this is because now it turns out that there's a machlokas between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Meir about whether if you ask somebody else to do the tvicha on Shabbat, or to do a tvicha for Avodah Zarah, so why would the Chachonim say that you're potter if there's no kom lei ben arabamine, since you're not chayev misa, and since the Torah was marve, if a shliach does it, to be mechayev you tashlumi. Now again, please remember that all of this is ultimately relevant to the overall structure of Ketuvot for the very simple reason that one of the essential elements, as Tosus brings, in our consideration of the din of Leiku Meshalim Legabe, our halacha of Knas, is that we need to take into consideration that the Torah wants to make certain that the victim is compensated. And that comes down to the same issue as Shoktu of the Chachamim, all of which revolves around the way that the Torah is careful to protect women. Remember that a lot of these halachas, the din of Ones, comes in Parshas Ki Tetzeh. And the entire Parsha of Ki Tetzeh is about marriage, about Yifas Tohar, about the protection of women under all of these circumstances, and therefore, seen in that context, the sugya of Ones u'Mefateh being part of Ketuvot, and being part of the Mohar, and being part of the idea of Bichlal Shoktu Chachomim, is based on a very profound diraisa, the whole Ki Yikach Ish Isha. All of that is talked about in a parsha dedicated to all of the inyanim of Ishas on that level. And that extends, by the way, even to the question of protecting the relationship in not allowing the husband to be taken away during the first year of marriage for war and so on. All of those issues appear there in Ki Tetzeh. These are amazing things that the Torah was mechadesh. So it's not a pella at all that these are included in Ksuvos. Don't feel that we're sitting over here getting involved in all kinds of other things. Ultimately, it's not really other things. So our challenge today is to understand how the Rabbanan would say that you're potter for tvicha on Shabbos or for Avodah Zarah, you're potter from Dalet Vehei, even though you didn't do any of the Isser Chiyav Misa. So why are you potter? And the answer to that yesterday was that we're going Aliba to Rabbi Shimon, the Chachomim hold of Rabbi Shimon, and that's a completely different halacha. Rabbi Shimon holds Shchita She'ena Ru'uya Lav Shma Shchita. So therefore, since the Torah says you're only chayev on tvicha, which is shchita, and this is not a kosher shchita, so memela the chachamim say you're potter. But Shenkin Rabbi Meir doesn't hold of that, says that you're chayev, everything is fine. Nothing to do with our problems. Akomli b'derabim minei b'misa b'malkas with hasra, not hasra. Forget about all of that. Very simple. That's what we tried to say yesterday, and we ran into a problem, and we had to stop because we're right. It was right smack bang in the middle of a complex sugya, we ran into a problem. And the problem was, the first part of the problem we dealt with yesterday, which is, if you're talking about the other cases for Avodas Kochavim, I understand that there's a problem. It's not a kosher shchita. If you're talking about a Shoha Niskal, since it's Osur Ba'anah, so it's not a shchita, it's Matar Ba'chila, and according to Rabbi Shimon, it's not a kosher shchita. But how do you explain the fact that shchita on Shabbos is considered to be not a kosher shchita according to Rabbi Shimon, if it says beferish in the Mishnah and Chulin that Hashochet b'Shabbat v'Yom Kippurim shchita tok sheira? That was the problem that we had ended up with yesterday, that the shchita is kosher, and what we had to say is that apparently they hold like Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler. Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler says that if you cook something on Shabbos, so then it would be us. Okay, but that is where we're at today, and we have to go into what Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler, the context of Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler, and the multiple shitas that have to do with Bevashel B'Shabbos. So if you don't mind, please join me now. Eight lines down over here. Actually, we could start from the beginning. Sovarla Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler, which we said yesterday, but let's say it again. So at the end of the sixth line, Sovarla Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler. And what does Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler hold? The Tanya HaMevashel B'Shabbat B'Shogeg Yochal B'Mezid Lo Yochal Divrei Rabbi Meir. So we were going to have a number of different shitas. It's big machlokas in between Rashi and Tosis about whether we're talking about, in all of these cases, him or somebody else, because it doesn't say in all of the cases very clearly. We'll take, since this is not very important to our central sugya, we'll simply take Rashi's approach. And we'll go through the brayso like this. Somebody cooks something on Shabbos. And he did the cooking b'shogeg. So he didn't remember it was Shabbos. So the halacha is over there. Yochal, he is allowed to eat that food, even though it was cooked on Shabbos, and even though it's on Shabbos. So he was nene from the fact that he was b'chal Shabbos. It doesn't matter, because it was b'shogeg. But if he did it b'mezid, then he is not allowed to eat it. But he's the only one who's not allowed to eat it because he is subject to the knas. Other people who didn't do a chilul Shabbos, they are allowed to eat it. That would be the din. Aliba the Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Yehuda says, you can never eat the food that you actually are going to be nene from on Shabbos. You can only eat it after the requisite amount of time to cook the same thing after Shabbos. So then you can eat it on Matzoi Shabbos because we don't want you to be nene from what you did on Shabbos. Fine. So after Shabbos, you can go ahead and you can eat it. And the question is, what exactly would the din be? Most learned that according to Rashi, the din would be that other people can eat it on Shabbos because Rashi's saying that we're not going to be kansin on the other people. But b'mezid lo yochal olamit. Other people can eat it, but he is not allowed to eat it ever. Because what we did is we give him a knas, and we don't allow him to eat. Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler, now this is what we're looking for. Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler says, b'shogeg yachel lemotzei Shabbat. The food could be eaten, not yochal, as Rashi stresses, yachel. The food can be eaten, but not by him. But even other people could only eat the food after waiting after Shabbos for the time it would take, and they do not get hanah directly from Shabbos. But for him, he can't eat it even then. Masha Einkein, if it was done b'mezid, it is usher to be eaten forever, not by him and not by others. Now, this therefore means that if somebody shechted on Shabbos and he did this b'mezid, so then it would never be allowed to be eaten, which means that according to Rabbi Shimon, what's the din? It's a shchita she'ena ru'uya. And if it's a shchita she'ena ru'uya, lav shma shchita, and therefore there's no chiyav of arba'a v'chamisha, and that explains why the Rabbanan would say that you're potter. Rabbi Meir, who doesn't hold of Rabbi Shimon, says, what's the difference whether it is able to be eaten? Did he do the act of shchita or not? He did. So then he's chayv arba v'chamisha. Simple machlokas, which involves us in these various shitas l'gabe shchita b'Shabbos. Fine. What exactly, once we've mentioned Rabbi Yochanan HaSander, we go off a little bit on a tangent to understand where does Rabbi Yochanan HaSander get the idea that it would be usher forever? And this is important because we need to establish whether this is a Dioraisa or Derabbanan in terms of the Dinim of Dalet Vehei. So that would be Kedorish Rabbi Chiya Pitcha Devei Nesia. Rabbi Chiya said over this drasha, Ushmartem et haShabbat ki kodesh hi lachem b'chalalei almot yumat, right? So now, what does it mean when it calls it kodesh? Just like kodesh, let's say, if you had something that you gave to the Beis HaMikdash, so what would be the halacha? It would be aser b'hana'ah, right? Ba'achila. So af ba'aser Shabbat would be aser ba'achila. And therefore, it is usher, apparently, even midiraisa. So you have to wait until the amount of time goes by that you're not being nenev from the Maaseh Shabbos. You'll say, if that's the case, why don't we usher even bahana'a? Ima kodesh asur bahana'a, af Maaseh Shabbat is asur bahana'a. And over here, we said it's only usher for Jews. It's not usher for everyone. Talmud lomar lachem. Kodesh Ilachem means it shall be yours. Despite the fact that it was done on Shabbos, against the Kedush of Shabbos, it remains yours, which means that you have monetary zichuyot to it. And if you have monetary zichuyot, so then it cannot be Osir Bahana'ah, by definition. So everything works out. Now, you might think that this applies even if it was done b'shogeg, despite, and Rabbi Yochanan HaSander said that it's not common, it's b'shogeg. And therefore, continues the pasuk, Michalalea mot yumat. When am I telling you that Salach of Shabbos is Kedesh Ilachem, and that anything that's done on Shabbos has a din of being Hegdesh, and therefore it's Osir Be'achila? That's only where it's in a case of Michalalea mot yumat, meaning that it was done B'mezit. But if you did it B'shogeg, then it's not included, obviously, because it's not Chiyamisa B'shogeg. Therefore, B'mezit Amarti Lecha, okay. Now, what is this drasha? Is it, are we talking about a Dioraisa or a Derabbanan? That's a machlokas between Rav Acha and Ravina. What exactly does Rav Yochanan HaSander hold with this drasha? Chai Omer Maaseh Shabbat Dioraita. He's learning this as an actual Isser Dioraisa. V'chai Omer Derabbanan. Now, if you hold it's a Dioraisa, I understand why. The Torah said, Kodesh Ilachem, and that's a Dioraisa. But the other one who says it's Rabbanan, how is he understanding Rabbi Yochanan who said over this drasha, and now you're telling me he doesn't mean that it's Osir? Well, if you look carefully at the pasuk, you'll see that it contains its own proof that it is not really Chal. Because Bandio mit Rabbanan, Omar Kro Kodesh Hi, Shabbat is Kodesh, which specifically means Shabbat per se has Kedusha. But the ma'asim that are made on Shabbat do not have Kedusha. And therefore, it was only min Rabbanan that the Chachomim extended it into Maaseh Shabbos. Okay, so now I'm confused again. If you're going to tell me that Rabbi Yochanan HaSander is only the Rabbanan, so then why is he Potter according to the Rabbanan from Arba Avachamisha? Because then Midiraisa, it's a Shechita Ru'uya. So if it's a Shechita Ru'uya, we're back to step one. So then why do you not pay? There's no kom lebe derabba minei, because we're talking about a case where somebody else did the act of shechita. You're right. You know what? When the Rabbanan said your part today, weren't talking about the case of Shabbos. They were talking about the other cases. They were talking about shechita for avodah zarah. They were talking about the shechita of ashur haniskal, which is osir b'hana. And over there, the Rabbanan say, since there is no shechita, because we hold the Rabbi Shimon, and the shechita she'ina ru'uya lav shma shechita, Gavi, you wrote that down, I hope, in the list of musagim, shechita she'ina ru'uya lav shma shechita, according to Rabbi Shimon. So because of that, they had to leave out the part, you're right, the other case, which is Shabbos, they didn't really argue about. They were only arguing on the two cases where it really is Ashkita Sha'ina Ru'uya. Okay, you know, I mean, the way that you're making this work out, there's all of these dinim about Toveach Levodizkai. I'm getting a little bit suspicious that there's too many bandages on this. You know, we're talking about epicycles and more epicycles. This is starting to confuse me because, I mean, I have other issues with this price, okay? Like the case of Toveach Levodizkai Chavim, you know? I mean, why would there be a chiyuv over here of arba v'chamisha according to Rabbi Meir? Isn't there another problem? The moment that you started the act of shechita to an avodah zara, what happens is that it immediately becomes asur because of takrovas avodah zara. You do not need the entire act of shechita to make it takrovas avodah zara, because as long as you do a maisa to avodah zara, you already asur. So then, given the shachat peipurta, when you cut the first little bit for the shechita, you now made it asur ba'anah because it's considered to be a takrovas. Idach, the rest of the shechita, when he is shechting that, he is not shechting something that belongs to the person that he stole it from, because it's now usher. And therefore, in this case, you cannot be mechayvim fi arba avachamisha, because it's no longer the guy's, it's no longer his. So in which case, why are you going to be chayiv according to Rabbi Meir? Well, let's add another epicycle. Okay. What's this epicycle? Well, this one is that the guy, when he was doing the shechita to the avodah zara, he specifically tells the priests, you know, we Jews, we have to do a complete shechita. So I don't have any intention to do the avodah to your avodah zara until I do the complete shechita. So it has to be l'chumrah. So anyway, since he's not going to be asering it for avodah zara until he finishes the act of shechita, so therefore, there's no problem because it's a shechita ru'uya. And at, I mean, because we don't care whether it's a shechita ru'uya, we care about only the fact that there's a chiyuv of arba avachamisha according to Rabbi Meir, and why not? So, but Omer, he specifies, I only want to do an avodah zara with a real kavana l'shem shamayim, and it has to be a full act of shechita. Okay, fine. Next epicycle. How about the Shor HaNiskal thing? You're saying the Shor HaNiskal, that makes sense, right? No, because the Shor HaNiskal is even worse. The Shor HaNiskal, forget about the problem of Shechita Ru'uya, because Asur Ba'anah. The Shor HaNiskal doesn't belong to the owner, because it's Asur Ba'anah, and something that's Asur Ba'anah has no monetary value. So I don't understand what we're talking about. So the whole price doesn't make any sense trying to make it work out this way. Well, yes, indeed. We'll add another couple of epicycles over here. All right, here we go. Hold on tight, guys, because we're going to be flying around in circles. So, Achamai Eskinan, it's got to be talking about over here that it wasn't just a regular situation in which somebody goes ahead and shechs a Shor HaNiskal. You're 100% right. That wouldn't make any sense. But it's talking about over here that the owner of this shor had given it over to a shomer. Okay, so now it was in the house of a shomer. It goes ahead and kills somebody, let's say, in the Beit HaShomer. And it's taken to Beis Din in the Beit of the Shomer. Beis Din says we have to be so kelet. And then a ganav comes. He steals it from the house of the shomer. Okay, and now what does this matter? Well, it's a bit complicated, but it does matter. Because we have two concepts, Kavi, please get ready to write down another fundamental concept. Thank you. One is that he holds of Rabbi Yaakov, and one is that he holds of Rabbi Shimon. So the one issue that he holds of Rabbi Yaakov says, if you take a shor HaNiskal, and you are a shomer on this shor that was nigmar dino l'skila, you can take this shor and you can give it back to the owner and you can say, here is your shor. I took a shor from you and I'm giving you back a shor. And the owner cannot say, but wait a minute, this shor is chayav misa. It isn't, it looks like the same shor that I took. Do you see any difference? I mean, I don't see any difference. So according to Rabbi Yaakov, the fact that there's a little bit of a problem, that it's not worth anything, okay, but Lamaisa, I took this shor and I'm giving you back this shor. So that would be, af mishinikamar dino, if the shomer would give it back to the balim, it would be good. Okay, and who cares? Aha, this is the important thing that, Gavi, wait, this is the important point to write down. And that is, davar hagorem lamamon kemamon dami. That's the issue. So now the question is, since over here, if I had not shechted the Shor HaNiskal, so then the Shomer would have been able to take it and give it back to the owner. And that means that it is worth the to me, the Shomer, it's worth the full value of the Shor. If I don't have this Shor, which now you went ahead and you shechted, you stole it from me and you shechted it, it may not be worth money to anybody else, but it sure as heck is worth money to me because I could have given it back and now I have to pay a whole Shor. If you hold that Dovra Gorim Lamaman is Kamaman Dami, so then that would explain why Tvicha Umechira would be Chayev, because I could have given it back. So if we put it all together, and we include Rabbi Shimon Shita, and Rabbi Yaakov Shita, and Rabbi Meir Shita, and the question of Rish Lakish's approach, and then it all sort of works out, as long as we've got enough epicycles to go around. And therefore, it's all okay. Rabbi Omer, listen, this, can we do without the epicycles? I think, let's start over, okay, says Rabbi. How about if we keep things simple? Forget about the business of getting a shliach, forget about the problem of yesh shliach l'dvar avera, forget about the three shitas of why yesh shliach l'dvar avera would apply for tvicha mechira, even though it doesn't apply out anywhere else, okay? Let's keep this for dummies. He did it himself, okay? He was toveach al yidei atzmo. That's what Isaiah's talking about. And the thing you could still get away with what we said before, namely that according to Rabbi Meir, you're only loko mishalim. You're never mesu mishalim. But in this particular case, you are mesu mishalim. This case is different. Why? Because it's against all norms. In a loko mishalim is where the monetary payment that you're making makes sense. You're going to tell me that if I steal a shor, I should pay back five shors. This makes sense? Maybe to you, if you're nuts, but it sure doesn't make sense to normal people. Why would I pay back five shors for one shor? So that doesn't make sense. When it doesn't make sense, it's considered to be a violation of payment norms. That's not where the Torah says you're not loko mishalim, because or not mesu mishalim, because that's tashlumim. You can't view this as tashlumim. I'm not making up for something. I'm in a completely new realm that the Torah was mechadish. There's this new idea of paying for something that you really shouldn't be paying for. Well, how did that get involved in the din of the kom lebit rabbi mineh? It's not a normal payment. I still agree that according to Rabbi Meir, you certainly cannot get misa and also b'chayim mamon, which explains why Rabbi Meir could still be the author of the Mishnah, like Reish Lakish said. And nonetheless, the Mishnah makes the difference between the rape of a sister, which is not a chiyav misa, and the rape of a daughter, which is a chiyav misa, so everything is fine. And this case is shine ocha because it's a chiddush, a chichatera biknas. The Torah is creating a new, unusual payment that doesn't follow from the normative approach that we take to tashlumin. And therefore, it's not included in the din of kamlei bin rabbi. I mean, very simple. And we don't have to get into all of this crazy epicycles that we got into. And by the way, this din that Rabba says is very, very much Rabba's approach. This is not just that he happened to decide this now in order to cut out all of the epicycles. This is based on Rabba's general approach because Rabba's going with Shitato. The Omar Rabba, let's say if you had stolen a Gedi before Shabbat. Okay, so what's the din if you steal? You steal a seb before Shabbat. What's the din? You pay Karen, and you pay maybe Kefal. Fine. But there's certainly no din without Tvichu Mechira. So over here, when you stole that Gedi before Shabbat, you were already chayev on the basic payment, right, for the Geneva. Now, you go ahead and you shecht it on Shabbat, then you're chayev. Why? Because since you were originally chayev for the normal payment, okay, and now you're adding the extra knas, the extra two payments, besides the keren v'kefal, you're now going to be paying four times as much, correct? Therefore, the four times as much, that's not normal, and therefore you're not putter because of the chilul Shabbos. That's why. But if you did the whole thing on Shabbos, you did the Geneva and the Tvicha through the Chilul Shabbos. So let's say you shechted it and that was the Geneva. That's the simplest way to understand it, like Tosfos. Then you're putter completely. Why? Because even though the Knas component, you're right, The knas component is not something that we pater because of kom lebet rab amine. But over here, the knas component without the karen component doesn't exist. You know why? I'll tell you. Let's imagine that we can just deal with the knas component. How much will it be? I'm not going to be paying the karen because the karen, that's standard mammon. So what will I pay? Arba'ah? No. I will be paying for a seh shlosha. And what will I pay for a shor? Arba'ah. Did the Torah ever create tashlumin called shlosha v'arba'ah? No. Only arba'ah v'chamisha. So therefore, we have a din that is called arba'ah v'chamisha amra Torah v'lo shlosha v'arba'ah. That's all. And therefore, let's see over here. We've got a shmoo who is not muted. That's our first problem. Our second problem is we're not supposed to say tzikazunt or anything like that, and he's coughing. That makes it even worse. So, in this case, it's simple. This, yes, you see that Rabbah is very consistent? Knas components can be added on Shabbat. But there's another problem. This is a fundamental concept, by the way, Gavi, Arba'ah v'chamisha, v'lo shlosha v'arba'ah. Okay, so if he did it in that way, she'im ein gneva, if there's no chiyah for the gneva, then you cannot be mashlub the chiyah of Arba'ah v'chamisha of tficha u'mechira. Furthermore, Rabbah said a beautiful thing, which is, if you had already stolen a gedi, and then you shechted it in a machteret, now Rashi seems to learn that the pshat is like this. You went into a guy's house, you stole a gedi, now you're digging a tunnel from this guy's house to outside, and you're going to be doing the Arab kind of work. You're going to take out everything from this house. You do the tficha while you're in the tunnel. Aha. But while you're in the tunnel, the guy has a right to shoot you. So if that's the case, you're basically ein lo damim. So then you should be potter because of kom lebet rab amine. So therefore, if you had already picked up the gedi while you were in the house and you weren't yet tunneling, so then the halacha would be that if you were tvacho even in the machteret, you're already chayev. Why? Because you were already chayev in the tashlumin of the keren. You were chayev before you tunneled. And in the rest of it, there's no din of the p'tur of kom lebet rab amine. This is Rabba Shita. That a knas, we wouldn't say kom lebet rab amine. Therefore, you be chayev for the whole thing because we have arba'ah v'chamisha. But if you did the whole thing in the tunnel, gona v'tavach b'machteret, then you're potter. Because since you can't be chayev on the keren, you can't be chayev on the tvichu mechira. Why? Because arba'ah v'chamisha amra Torah v'lo shlosha v'arba'ah. Lovely. Now, why do we need to have both dinim? Again, this is entirely tangential. Why does Rabbah need to tell us the din of Baba Machteret plus the din of Shabbos, despite the fact that they're both essentially the same concept, that Arba'ah v'chamisha amra Torah v'lo shlosha v'arba'ah, and that if you already mischayev in the Karen before, then we can be mashlim the Arba'ah v'chamisha on that Karen, even though it's done in the context of a chiyav misa? It's the same halacha in both cases. Why did Rabbah have to teach us two separate cases? I'll tell you. Because if Rabbah had only told us the din about Shabbos, I would have said, look, Shabbos is a real chi of Misa. Somebody's mechalal Shabbos, and 2 years later, the Edom come to Besen, and they're made that he was mechalal Shabbos with their Asra, they'll kill him 2 years later or 20 years later. But if somebody is Baba Machteret, he is only ein lo damim so long as he's in the machteret. The moment he's not in the machteret, yesh lo damim. So I need to know that even a case of an iser sha'ah, that shouldn't pater him, maybe, for kom lebet rab amine. Kamash malon that it does. Now, guys, please excuse me if I bring up another exciting point, but it has so much contemporary application that I cannot resist. And that is that the pashtus from Rashi, see, I created the case when I told you in a way that would allow him to be above a machteret, because he was planning on doing a Hamas job of schlepping everything out of the house, right? But that is not clearly what Rashi is saying. On one level, it seems that Rashi is saying that if he was tunneling his way out, and he, in that case, shechts, he would also be potter, because the guy, the owner, if he came, could shoot him while he's in the tunnel. The problem is, if he's on his way out, can you shoot him? Now, this is, obviously, it depends if you live in Florida or if you live in New York. You know, in New York, they'll shoot you. In Florida, they'll give you a medal, whatever. But obviously, it's still a big contemporary issue, right? Can a homeowner protect his property even when the ganav is on his way out with his property in the machteret? So the pashtas of Rashi is that's what we're talking about. But the problem is that that question is a machlokas to Rambam and the Ravid. So the Rambam learns you can shoot him. The Ravid says once he's on his way out, you can't shoot him. You can only shoot him while he's in his way in where he represents a threat to you. Because if you're going to be aimed against him, he'll kill you. But why, if he's leaving, would you be allowed to kill him? So then Rashi would be throwing in his lot with the Rambam, the way the Pashtas of Rashi is. That's why I added the additional complication that he might be doing a Hamas tunnel, you know. Okay, anyway, that's an aside. So let's say if Rabba would have told me the only the case of Shabbos, I would have said, okay, but above a Machteret, that's not real Chiyuv Misa. On the other hand, suppose Rabba told me the case of Machteret, I would have said, Machteret is basically Hatra'ah. By definition, because you can shoot the guy who's Baba Machteret. You don't have to warn him. So then that means that there's a much bigger Chiev of Misa in that case, because you can shoot him on the spot as opposed to normal Chiev Misa. You have to give him Asra and take him to court and the whole thing. So I understand that. That's a reason to potter him from Tashlumin. But maybe the more civilized forms of a Chiev Misa, maybe over there we can't do that and potter him. Tzricha, so therefore I need both of them. Now, we get into another question over here, which is that if we were talking about a case where somebody already had something in his rishus, and we had brought up the case before of Shaul and so on, he borrowed something. So listen, imagine a case like this, says Rav Papa. A guy had a parah that he stole, and he had stolen it before Shabbos, and then he shechted it on Shabbos. There he's chayev, shekvarnit chayev b'gneva, kodem sheyavo lidei isur Shabbat. So this is exactly the same as Rabba. But the next thing, hayta parah she'ulalo. Now here's an interesting question. If the parah had been borrowed, and he shechted it on Shabbos, then he's potter. Because since it was in his rishus, and he had a right to have it in his rishus, the Shoel is not chayev until he actually shechs it. Because the fact that he had it doesn't mean anything. Therefore, he would be potter. Omale revachabre the Ravel Ravashi, excuse me, I must be missing something over here. I mean, the only thing I see that Rav Papa is saying differently from Rabba is that Rabba talked about a goat, and Rav Papa is talking about a cow. Now, really, do I need Rav Papa to tell me the difference between a goat and a cow? What the heck is this all about? Rav Papa parat alashmina. Well, Rav Papa really feels he needs to tell us that the same thing that Rabba said about a goat is true about a cow? Omar Leis, Rav Ashi said, of course, that's not the point. The point of Rav Papa is that he's adding the din about the Shoel. And that's a very important point, which you may be missing, because it has vast implications. Okay? I'll show you. Because Rav Papa was talking about the case where the cow was borrowed, and that's very new. Because Salkadai Tramina, since Rav Papa said, when it comes to a question about what point is it where somebody had borrowed another person's animal to do work. So there we're talking about the Isra of Lo Tachsom Shor B'disho. In that case, if he is Chotem Shor B'disho, not only is he over on the Isra D'oraisa of Lo Tachsom Shor B'disho, but he's also stealing, and he has to pay back the owner for the food that the animal would have normally eaten, which was all part of his responsibility. So over there, of course, we get into the Shaila of, but ein lokin umishalim. So Rav Papa is the one who explains over there that it's not loka umishalim. Because since at the time that he would shoel the animal, that's when he became chayev for the tashlumim, because he was mechuyev to feed her at the very moment that he took her. Therefore, later on, the prevention of her eating, that is a chalotz at the time of the she'ela. And the question of the iser of lo tachsom shor b'disho, that happens only later. Now, that shita of Rav Papa would have led me to make the mistake of thinking, if Rav Papa hadn't told us otherwise, would have led me to think that sal kadatecha mina, since Rav Papa himself is the one who says that over there you don't have a problem of lokan umishalmim, because at the time that he takes the cow and he pulls it out of the owner's rishus into his own, at that moment he's chayav already for the food. So then maybe you would think the same thing. At the time that he takes the cow, which he does perfectly legally, he takes the cow to borrow. So at that moment, anything that happens to that cow, even if it's a lightning strike that kills the cow, he is chayev. And that's at that moment the chayev. So you would say, then that should make it impossible to tell me a case where you would be potter on the Arba Ava Chamisha, because he always is responsible for the main keren of the cow at the moment that he takes it, according to Rav Papa. Therefore, Rav Papa has to tell you that no, that is not true. Because as long as the animal is still alive, I can still return it to the owners. You can't tell me I'm chayev in payment at the time that I took it. It's the owner's animal. It's only when I shecht it and I take it away from the owner, at that point, I'm doing the chiyev of all of the arba together. And therefore, it's our Shabbos, it's butter. That is something that Rav Papa needed you to understand the difference. Kamash Balan. Omar Rava, well, this has other implications, because imagine a case like this. A guy borrows a para, and he dies. Now, he had borrowed the para for 5 days. He starts working with the para, and he dies on the first day. Meanwhile, his kids have no idea that this is somebody else's para. So now, first of all, they have a right to continue using this para for the remaining 4 days. Because the original borrowing, the schus that he has, he's able to give to his heirs. So he has the right to use this para for 5 days. His heirs can use it for the remaining days after his death. And what happens is another tremendous chiddush, which is that if the para dies, that the heirs are not responsible because they are not the ones who did the she'ela. It was the father who did the she'ela, and he was the one that was mitchayev. And they are not chayev on onasim because they never accepted that responsibility. Now, what if they had no idea that this was a borrowed para, and they go ahead and they eat the para? And in order to eat the para, they shechted the para. So now, kisforin shel aviyem, they thought it was their father's para, and that they now own it. And they thought it was shel aviyem, utvachua v'achalua. So over there, they're not chayev on anything except the actual hanah that they get from it. And the hanah that they get from it is figured at the value of hanah, because they say, well, if we had known it wasn't his, we never would have eaten it. So the only thing you'd be mechayev us for is the fact that the nourishment makes it unnecessary for us to eat anything else, but not for what it is that we got out of it at its value. So that was completely a mistake. And therefore, they only pay dmei basar bezol. They pay the lowest rate for what that level of nourishment would have been. But in the event that their father left property, real estate, and real estate is mishu'ubad, there's a lien on real estate to pay back any debts of the father. Now, that's a different situation, because then they are chayev to pay. Now, it's not clear, what are they chayev to pay? Are we going back to the original case where it was struck by lightning and they're chayev to pay because the father's original shibud as a shoel means that all onasim are going to be covered by the property that he leaned to protect? I mean, if that's the case, believe me that he's going to have to pay from that property when his kids eat it, obviously, he has to pay even when a lightning strike hits it, right? So, okay, so it might be referring to that case, in which case all of the issues here are going to be covered by the property that the deceased left behind, which was leaned to the payment of anything that happens to it. But some learns, like I just said, but only on the seifa part, which is the part about the kids eating it. And that there, if the father, look, the father should have left a note to his kids. I mean, that's called a pshia on the part of the father. And therefore, the father, by not telling his kids, do not eat this para if I die, and it's not mine, that is covered by the real estate. So if it covers a lightning strike, it definitely is going to cover the seifa. But if that's the case, then that means that this is running against the shita of Rav Papa. Because Rav Papa said, if you borrowed that para and you shecht it on Shabbos, you're potter. Why? Because the moment that you borrowed it, you are already basically, the halacha is over there, not chayiv until, because as long as it's alive, you're not chayiv yet until you did the act of shechita on Shabbos. So therefore, in Rava's case, if the cow was hit by lightning, then despite the fact that there was property, it wasn't going to cover a lightning strike because at this point it was still alive and I was going to return it. So therefore, telling me that I do have to pay for a lightning strike because of the very fact that I borrowed it and there was a lien at the time that I borrowed it is against what Rav Papa just told us, that his own shita would be that despite the fact that you're chayev to feed it from the moment of she'ela, that doesn't mean that you're chayev for a later onus retroactively from the moment of she'ela, you see? And therefore, if you're going to learn it's going on the reisha, then it would include going on the seifa, but then it would be against Rav Papa's shita. Whereas if you're saying it's going only on the seifa, where the kids ate it, but it does not go back on the reisha, why does it not go back on? Because of Rav Papa. That's what Rav Papa said. The chiyuv of the tashlumin is not chal at the time of borrowing, and therefore would not create a lien for a later accident at the time of the borrowing. Okay, all of this now is the entire discussion that we've had has all been to justify Reish Lakish. Ula and Rabbi Yochanan, they had a very simple explanation of the contradiction between the Mishnah in Makkos and our own Mishnah. Reish Lakish was the one that got us into all of this trouble by claiming it was Rabbi Meir, and then we had to figure out why there's a difference between rape of a daughter and rape of a sister, and that got us into the question of Rabbi Meir holds that come le bidurabi mine and misa, or whether there's a difference by knas, and all of these different issues about when you incurred part of the knas, and when you, oh my God, that was all because of Reish Lakish, okay? So now, what did Reish Lakish have to do this to us for? There was such a simple explanation. Why didn't he just say what Rabbi Yochanan said, for God's sake? I understand why Rabbi Yochanan wouldn't want to say like Reish Lakish. Oh, boy, do I understand. So, Bishlam, Rabbi Yochanan, Lama, Reish Lakish. Okay, Yochanan says, what are we getting into Rabbi Meir over here with all of this epicycles? It's, why not learn that it's going like the Rabbim? It's going like the Rabbanan. And therefore, in a local Mishalim. But why in the world would Reish Lakish have rejected the simple, straightforward difference between the two Mishnayas? In Makkos, we're talking about where you gave him Hatra'ah. And in Ksuvos, we're talking about where you didn't give him Hatra'ah. The Hakol Sharir V'Kayam, like it says in the Ksuvah itself. And everybody would go smiling away to breakfast. Why did Reish Lakish do that? Omar Lechaz, Reish Lakish says, because it's all irrelevant, my dear friends. Hasra is irrelevant. Don't you understand that the din of Komlei B'Rabi Mineh has nothing to do with the fact that the guy's going to be killed or is going to get Malkus? Komlei B'Rabi Mineh has to do about the type of Isser, darn it. If you did something which is Chayiv Malkus, even if you didn't get Hasra, in a loko mishalim, that's called Chayiv Malkus Shogigin, meaning without Hasra. If you did something that's a Chayiv Misa, and you did a Peshogeg, forget about Hasra. You think there's no Komlei B'Rabi Mineh? There's Kum Leibin and Rabbi Minei even there. So therefore, what's this nonsense of Rabbi Yochanan saying, well, it depends. If he got Asra, then there's Malkus. But if he didn't get Asra, there's no, there's the same Malkus. Malkus is a theory, not a fact. And there's the same Chiev of Malkus, says Rish Lakish, whether you got Asra or you didn't get Asra. So therefore, the entire approach of Rabbi Yochanan is completely off the wall. Because Armalach Rish Lakish, Kivan De'ilu Ad Rebbe Potter. Look, I'm interested in the theory, not in the actuality. Had they given him Asra, okay, then he would have been Potter. Then if they didn't give him Asra, he's also Potter. It's exactly the same. Kilo Ad Rebbe Nami Potter. And this Machlokas is a Machlokas that Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish have been going at for a long time. Because when Rav Dimi came to Bavel, he said, you should know that the question of Chayve Mitot Shogegin, which is this case, where you didn't get Asra, you didn't even do it on purpose, or Chayve Mitot Shogegin, either way, I don't care. If you did that together with something else, meaning Momon, V'dover Acher, at the same time, there's a big Machlokas. Rabbi Yochanan says you're chayev because you don't really get Malkus and you don't really get Misa. And Rish Lakish Amar Patur. Rabbi Yochanan says, look, you're chayev because since he didn't get Asra'a, the Halo Atrobe, so then why would we potter him? Where's the Malkus? Rish Lakish says you're potter. We don't need to have real Malkus because Kivan the Ilu Atrobe potter, Kilo Atrobe Nami potter. The whole thing is basically a theory. Gavi, you have these written down. Chayve Malka Shergigin, Chayve Misa Shergigin, additional important elements.